Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And we'll be reading just the first seven verses of this chapter today. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business, but a fool's voice with many words. When you bow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin. Do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. Why should God be angry at your voice and destroy the work of your hands? For when dreams increase and words grow many, there is vanity. But God is the one you must fear. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 51 in the back section. Page 51, this is Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 37. This morning we will read questions 101 and 102. I will read the question and you may respond with the answer. From page 51 in the back of the Psalter, question 101. But may we swear an oath in God's name if we do it reverently? May we swear by saints or other creatures?
No. A legitimate
Well, this morning we continue our study of the law of God. We have been looking at the Ten Commandments, commandment by commandment. Last week we talked about the third commandment, our concern for the proper use of God's name. And we saw that we were not to blaspheme or misuse God's name by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths. And we saw that God was so particular about His name, God was so concerned about His name, that when His name was taken in vain, He commanded the death penalty for it. Not a light thing to talk about the proper use of God's name or the misuse of God's name. Even so much that we could not be silent bystanders. When we heard God's name taken in vain, we may not sit back and say nothing. We must stand up for the honor of the name of God. It's interesting that this command is given two Lord's Days in the Catechism. So concerned that we properly understand the use of God's name that both Lord's Day 36 and 37 deal with the third commandment. In some ways, 36 telling us what we should not do, we should not blaspheme, misuse the name of God. 37, how then do we properly use God's name? You know, it might be the case that we would say, look, if God's name is so holy, if we must be so careful, then let's just not use it at all. Let's never take God's name on our lips. Let's never swear in God's name, lest we do it wrongly. But that's not the picture God gives us in His Word, and the Catechism picks up on that. There is a proper use of taking God's name on our lips in terms of an oath, in terms of making a promise, in terms of swearing. The book of Ecclesiastes is a book that deals with looking for meaning, looking for something to hold on to. And the author of Ecclesiastes looks all over the place to find true meaning and true meaning for life. He looks to work. He looks to pleasure. He looks to family. He looks to friends. He looks to riches. He looks to poverty. And in this text this morning, he looks to proper words. Words that are meaningful. Words that hold weight. In many words, there grows vanity, but God is the one you must fear. Proper words, meaningful words, weighty words. We're going to see this morning that the proper use of God's name is that type of weighty, meaningful expression. Those meaningful words that we take upon our lips. We're going to talk this morning about the proper use of God's name and the fact that at times, we may be required to take a vow. Now, we're not always required to take a vow. But there may be times when it is necessary. Our confession says, when the government demands it or when necessity requires it. There are certain times in our lives where we sometimes have to take a vow. There are examples of that throughout the Scriptures. When we want to assure that something will be done. We think of Abraham and his concern that his sons not marry from outside the Christian family, the covenant family, and he requires his servant to go and find a wife for his son. And he says, I want you to do this for me, and I want you to swear a vow to me. Promise me you're going to do it. And that servant then takes the vow that Abraham asks of him, and he is then bound to do what Abraham has asked him to do, to find that proper wife for his son. There are times today where we are required to take vows. If we, probably the most common example, if we go into court and we are asked to swear to tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help us God. May we take that oath? Some Christians would say, no, that's a misuse of God's name. But we are allowed at times to take oaths like that. When the government demands it, when necessity requires it. If we have to go into the court and we are asked to take an oath and to swear to tell the truth, we may do that without violating the third commandment. We are sometimes required to take oaths. Verse 2. Do not be rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore let your words be few. Don't do this all the time. But when it's required, it's okay to take an oath. Now, while it is true we are sometimes required to take an oath, if we do take an oath, we are always required to keep it. We are sometimes required to take an oath, but if we do take an oath, we are always required to keep it. Verse 4. When you vow a vow to God, do not delay paying it, for He has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Let not your mouth lead you into sin. And do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake. If you take a vow, if you make a promise with the name of God, you must do it. And don't say then, look, I was just kidding. I didn't really mean it. We have called God's name to account. We have taken God's name on our lips in this vow, and therefore we must keep the vow. He says, don't say to the messenger, the temple messenger, look, I was mistaken before. Now, if we vow to God, we must keep the vow. If we take God's name as a witness to our truthfulness, we must make sure that we keep that vow. If we go into court and promise to tell the truth, we must tell the truth. We may not shade it, we may not color it, but tell the truth as we know God would have us do. We are sometimes required to take vows. We are always required to keep vows that we have taken. Now, why would we do that? Why would we take God's name and as a witness when we make a statement? Well, our confession reminds us that we do this in order to maintain and promote truth and trustworthiness. The purpose of vows is to promote the truth. Truth is at a premium today. It's so hard to find anything that we can really call the truth. It's always your truth versus my truth versus someone else's truth. We all see things from different perspective. We all have a little different take on the truth. But to take a vow and say, no, I believe this, God helping me, is to promote truth, to promote trustworthiness. We have called God as a witness that He will be the one who will punish us if we are not speaking the truth. To take God's name in a vow promotes truth because God is the one who witnesses to the truth. We are to take our oaths in the name of God and only in His name. But now you say, didn't Jesus say somewhere that we weren't supposed to take oaths? Didn't Jesus say something about not swearing by anything? Well, you're referring to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew 5, verse 33, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all. Now, doesn't that say we shouldn't take oaths? Doesn't that say that what I said about proper oaths doesn't apply? What does Jesus go on to say? Don't take oaths at all, either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by earth, for it's the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. Do not take an oath by your head, for you can't make one hair white or black, but simply let your yes be yes, and your no, and anything more comes from evil. What Jesus is saying is not, don't take an oath. He's saying, don't take an oath by anything other than the name of God. Not by heaven, not by earth, not by the temple, not by your head. When you take an oath, do it properly in God's name, because only He can truly testify to your truthfulness. Only God can witness to whether you're telling the truth or not. Only He knows the heart. And so, rather than denying the truth, to take an oath in God's name promotes the truth, promotes trustworthiness for the glory of God. And our confession says, for our neighbor's good. When we speak truth from our lips, it not only blesses us, it blesses those around us. Our neighbor, our employer, our employee. When they know that our word can be trusted, that we are those who are concerned about truthfulness, about trustworthiness, about promoting good and promoting truth, it's a blessing to the world. How many times as employers don't we love it when our employee says, I will be there at this time, and they are there at that time. They promise to complete a certain task, and they get that task done. To encourage trustworthiness, to encourage truthfulness, to encourage that type of godly concern for the truth is a blessing to us, to the world around us. When someone knows that they can count on your word, when you say you'll be somewhere, when you say you'll do something, to know that you are so concerned about the truth that you would, when necessary, take an oath to that effect, it promotes the truth. It promotes God's glory. It promotes our neighbor's good. It teaches our commitment to the truth and doing things that bring honor to God. There are sometimes we're required to take vows. We're always required to keep them. And vows tend to promote the truth. They tend to serve as an example to others. Now, what types of vows are there that we take? I think we often think about vows in court, going into court and making a vow and promising to tell the truth. But there are other vows that we take in our life. Marriage vows. Children, when your parents got married, they said vows. They made vows to each other before God. Promises to each other. Promises before God that should never be broken. Husbands, you promised before God to love your wives, to care for them, to put their needs ahead of your needs. Are you fulfilling your vow? You made a promise, you called God as a witness, that to this person you would commit yourself to care for her, to love her, to provide for her. Whether it was easy or whether it was difficult, you made a vow. Sometimes the vows go for better or for worse, richer or poorer, sickness and health. Man, you made a vow before God to care for your wives, to love your wives. Are you still fulfilling that vow? Is God still witnessing your faithfulness to that promise? It's a vow you took. Do not say it was a mistake. Do not delay in repaying your vow. God takes no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. No one compelled you to make that vow. It was a vow that we took willingly, that we took lovingly, but that we took voluntarily. And now we're called to fulfill the vow. Wives, you promised to be the loving helpmeet to your husband. Are you fulfilling your vow? Are you still that one that is the encourager to him? That comes alongside him as that helpmeet to help him in his walk with the Lord, to help him in the work God's called him to do? Are you fulfilling your vow? You made a promise before God that you would love, that you would honor, that you would submit to this man. No one forced you. It was a vow you took lovingly, a vow you took willingly, one you took voluntarily. But having taken that vow, are you fulfilling it? Meaningful words. Did the words mean something to you? See, that's one of the reasons that divorce is such a serious sin. It is not only the breaking of a relationship between husband and wife, but God has been called as a witness. It's a breaking of our word to Him that we promised we would love this one no matter what, even when it was difficult. Our marriage vows must be held in high honor, in high regard. It was not a casual promise that we made. We took a vow before God. Are you keeping your marriage vows? We think of other vows that we take in life, other vows we take in the church. In baptism, we take vows. Now, we know that in baptism, God makes wonderful promises to us and to our children, and the blessings of the covenant are poured out to us. But there's also an obligation that we have as parents when we baptize our children. One of the questions that we ask when a child is baptized, to the parents we ask, do you promise, there's a vow, do you promise to do all you can to raise this child in the fear of the Lord? That's a vow you have taken. Are you fulfilling that vow? To do all you can to raise your children in the fear of God. Not just when it's convenient. Not if it fits in your financial plan, not if it fits in your vacation schedule, but to do everything you can to raise your child
in a way that is going to draw them to the Lord. At the very least, that includes bringing your children to worship and helping them to understand what goes on in worship. Worship can be something that's a bit foreign to our children. They don't know exactly why we do certain things, why it goes a certain way. As parents, it's our obligation to help them understand. Why is it that we worship the way we do? Why is it that we have a service of reconciliation? Why is it we sing certain songs to God? Why is it we hear God's word preached? And we teach our children, we instruct our children, we do all we can to bring them up in the Christian faith. Are you fulfilling the vows you made in baptism? It includes our commitment to God-centered education for our children. It includes helping them learn the catechism, helping them with their Sunday school lesson. Have they prepared for the day? Do they know their questions and answers? Are we taking seriously our vow to do everything we can to raise our children in the fear of the Lord? To have them instructed in this truth that we profess as a church. Whether that takes, there's a variety of methods that can be done through Christian schooling, through homeschooling, through other types of God-centered education. But we have promised to do everything we can to raise them in the fear of the Lord. Are we keeping our baptismal promises? Are we fulfilling our vow? We think of the promises, the vows that we take when we become members of the church. We come from another church, and now we join this church, and there are certain understanding of vows that are taken. That when we join the congregation, we will be active members of the church. That we will actively use the gifts, the talents, the abilities God has given to us for the benefit of the congregation. We join the church and we become a part of that church. And we give ourselves to serving others. Membership vows in the congregation are important. We think about when we have profession of faith, and we so look forward to upcoming professions of faith as these covenant children embrace the fullness of God's glory and God's grace, and they're given all the privileges and responsibilities of the membership in the church. They've had membership, now all the responsibilities become theirs. To be active in the care and the concern for others in the church. Are we keeping our vows of membership? One of the questions that we ask is, if you should become delinquent, either in doctrine or in life, will you submit to the discipline of the church? How many times that vow is broken? We're happy to submit as long as everything's going fine. But if we find ourselves out of step with the elders' call to faithful living, suddenly we don't want to listen to them anymore. And when the elders come to us and out of concern and out of love and want to pray for us and call us back to the ways of God, we say, look, I don't want to talk to you guys anymore. And we forget. We've made a vow to submit to the discipline, the admonition of the church. Were those meaningful words? Were they simply words that were spoken? Vanity, emptiness, uselessness. When we promise to submit to the local elders, we have to mean that. We have to promise that we will do that and then actually do it. Our call to faithfully keep our vows is because we serve a faithful God. God is a covenant-keeping God. God is a vow-keeping God. His word is trustworthy. His word is always faithful. His word is always true. And when God promised that He would redeem a fallen people, He meant it.
even though it was costly to him, even though it was that which would send the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, to come to earth to live and to die for us, God was not slow in keeping his vow, but in the fullness of time sent Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the actual Word, to come and live and dwell among us and to live that life and die that death, that God might fulfill His promise to redeem His people. God spoke meaningful words in that promise. Meaningful words to not leave us in the death of our sins, but words that called Him to send His own Son, Jesus Christ. The Word of God Himself, the Word incarnate, the perfection of the Word, who came to live and who came to die, that we might have life, that we might know the true picture of meaningful words, God's promise, God's faithfulness. And now God calls us to be just as meaningful in the vows that we take. If we have not kept our word, if we have not kept our vows, in spite of our unfaithfulness, God still remains faithful. If we confess that sin, if we turn away from that sin, if we commit once again today to keep those vows in marriage, those vows in baptism, those vows of church membership, God will still be faithful to forgive us, to wash us, to cleanse us, and then to call us to continued meaningful words, speaking the truth in love, being concerned for God's honor, and going forward, that every day we might bring Him honor and glory and praise by what we do and by what we say. May God help us to speak meaningful words in the week, in the month, in the years to come. Let's pray together. Lord our God, Your Word is true, and we thank You for that. We thank You that Your Word speaks to us about those matters of our life, of how we should live, of how we should act, of how we should talk. We have spoken of vows this morning. Lord God, if we have been negligent in keeping our vows, if it seems like too much work for us, we ask You would forgive us, that You would wash us, that You would cleanse us. And we can pray that prayer because You are a vow-keeping God. You have promised to forgive, and we turn to You in confession in Jesus' name. And so we ask, O God, that You'd strengthen us now as we go forth. Help us to mean what we say with our mouths and to live it out with our lives. And in this, to bring honor and glory and praise to You. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.